So we'll begin with the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. And this is just to set the tone for why this discussion is so relevant for this time of year. If you don't have a packet, there is one more left up here. Come and get it. And that is the following. Over the course of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we are all hopefully engaged in the process of tshuva. Or if not actively performing tshuva, at least thinking about doing tshuva. Something. And the question is, what ultimately is the goal, the objective that we seek to attain through tshuva? And the Rambam here in Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, and Halacha Zayin of the Tshuva tells us, when he speaks about the significance of tshuva, when Rambam seeks to define it in words, what is so significant about tshuva, the Rambam says, Gedola tshuva shemekareves es ha'adam l'shchina. If you have to really narrow it down to its most concise, most essential element, tshuva is so significant because it draws a person close to Shechina. Rambam quotes the pasuk Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, implying that the process of return is a process that leads us up to God. It's bringing us back closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kolomer, this means to say, Im tachzor b'tshuva. If one does tshuva, zok the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, be sidbak. You will cling on to me. Because tshuva is mekareves es harachokim. It draws close that are distant. Those that are distant. And Rambam yet again emphasizes again in the next halacha. He says, look at this amazing accomplishment of tshuva. Yesterday, says the Rambam, this individual is muvdol meshem alkei yisrael. He's distant. He's separate from God. And today, after doing tshuva, hayom hu mudbak b'shechina. All of a sudden now, he's davek b'shechina. Rambam quotes the pasuk, v'atem hadvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem, that this is what we aspire to, dvekus, to be davek b'Hashem Elokeichem. In fact, if you look in Mesil Shisharm, in his Akdama, from Mesil Shisharm speaks of the shlemos ha'amiti, the ultimate perfection, the spiritual perfection we all strive to achieve. What are we here for ultimately, if not to achieve shlemos? Says Mesil Shisharm, what is shlemos ha'amiti? It's ha'dvekus bo yisbarach. It comes down to that one word. Shlemos equals dvekus. Perfection is attained when one has reached that state of dvekus, connection with Borei Olam. So what we seek to accomplish and attain through tshuva is simply that, dvekus to the Shechina. And look at the incredible potential and the capacity of one who is dvek b'Shechina. The Rambam says at the end of Halacha Zayin, when one is dvek b'Hashem, Soek v'ne'ene miyad. When he cries out, he is answered immediately. Someone who's dovek b'Hashem has that koach that his tfilos are responded to instantly. Soek v'ne'ene miyad. What an incredible koach. What an incredible power. One can be soek v'ne'ene miyad. We seek to attain this level of dvekus to whatever extent possible through tshuva to try and hopefully be capable on Yom HaKippurim of being tzoek v'nene miyad, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having our tefillos responded to immediately. This is the goal of tshuva. It is all about dvekus, which is all about shlemus, perfection. And therefore, if, as we should, you would be thinking about, well, how am I supposed to attain dvekus then? If this is my goal, this is my objective, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, I'm looking to attain dvekus, so what do I do to attain dvekus? How do I go about it? So Chazal tell us, you want to know how to attain dvekus? So the Baal Turim tells us here, Baal Turim, Devarim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. On this Pasuk, Ba'atem hadvekim, Baal Turim says, Tagin al hakuf. The letter kuf in the word hadvekim has an unusual phenomenon, tagim, on the kuf. Usually, tagim in the Sefer Torah appear only on certain letters. Shin, ayin, tes, nun, zayin, gimel, tzadi. All of a sudden here, v'atam etveikim, the kuf, unusual, has tagim. what's the significance of the tagim, those little stick-like protrusions in the top of the letter in the Sefer Torah? Baal Turim says, Remez levarech kuf brachos b'kol yom. That in the word hadavekim, the Torah is alluding to us that one must recite 100 brachos each and every day. Apparently there is this connection between hadavekim, devekus, and the recital, the obligation, which we'll see momentarily, of every Jew to recite 100 brachos every day, hence the kuf. Gematria 100 has the tagim on it to allude to the obligation to recite Me'er Brachas B'chol Yom. And where does this obligation come from? The Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, tells us the following. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Hayyarab Meir Omer. Meir used to say, Chayav Adam Levarech Me'er Brachas B'chol Yom. A person is obligated to recite 100 brachos each and every day. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, and now the Gemara quotes the first half of a pasuk. Ma ba'ata Yisrael, now Israel, ma Hashem Elokecha sho'al me'imach. What is God asking of you? The pasuk here, I've quoted for you the next line here. The entire pasuk is, ba'ata Yisrael, and now Israel, ma Hashem Elokecha sho'al me'imach. What is God asking of you? Kiyim, just, only, li yiras Hashem alakecha, to fear God, lechas b'chol derachav, walk in his ways, ula'avo, so to love him, v'la'avodos Hashem alakecha, and to serve God, b'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha. So this pasuk says, the Gemara alludes to the chiv of a person, levarech me'er brachas b'chol yom. And the Rishonim struggle, how do you see this din of me'er brachos in this pasuk? So you look at Rashi. Rashi says, oh, the Gemara quotes the phrase from the first half of the pasuk of Ma Hashem Elokecha. Ma Memhei. But really, says Rashi, what the Gemara is telling us to do is Kari Be'Me'ah. Read it as if it doesn't say Ma, but it says Me'ah, as if there's an extra Aleph in there. That's kind of puzzling. Since when do you derive Chiyuvim from a pasuk based on reading a word that isn't really there? That doesn't seem so simple. Look at Tosis. Tosis also struggles with this drasha. Tosis says, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, to have a male. The word Shoel is spelled with a Vav. It's male. And Memela v'yesh mea osios b'pasuk. There's 100 letters in the pasuk. Okay? 100 letters in the pasuk. That's cute. That's interesting.
That's only when you add the olive.
When you add the Aleph to the Meah, you're saying. Oh, okay, thank you. When you add the Meah to the Aleph, thank you. Very good. So, also puzzling. You have to add an Aleph in. 100 letters, okay. That's coincidental. It's nice. It's maybe an illusion, but what's the connection to the pasuk here? Tosis quotes further. V'yesh meforshim dima, the word ma, ola ba'at bash mea. If you use the gematria system of at bash, you exchange every letter with the opposite letter in the Aleph Beis. The first is exchanged for the last, Aleph Tav. Second is exchanged for the second last, Beis Shin. Gimel Reish, Dalet Kuf. Hey, Tzadi. Oh, so Hey Tzadi. Ma, Mem Hey. The Hey is exchanged for a Tzadi. And you keep on going, you exchange a Mem for a Yud. So you have Yud instead of the Mem. You have Tzadi instead of the Hey. Yud and Tzadi, Gematria is 100. Okay, also kind of cute. I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I mean that just in a puzzling sort of way, perplexing sort of way. These are very kind of seemingly roundabout, far less than obvious insinuations in the pasuk that we're referring to Me'er Brachos here. So what's pshat? What is pshat? So what Baal Turim is telling us here is that the Me'er Brachos ultimately bring one to Dveikus. And perhaps therefore, and this I heard from Rav Meir Tursky once in a shir, when the Gemara finds in this pasuk seemingly difficult to uncover allusions to the Chiyev to recite Me'er Brachos, what the Gemara is really telling us is that when the pasuk instructs us to have an awe of God, to love God, How do you get to that? Through Me'er Brachos. If you recite Me'er Brachos b'chol yom, you'll be better able to generate an Ava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a year for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or as Baal Turim says, through Me'er Brachos, you generate a relationship, a Devekus, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Yesod here that Chazal and the Rishonim are trying to teach us. Me'er Brachos is what brings one to Devekus. It brings one to Ava. It brings one to Yira. Yeah, Shaul.
Don't we know that the Me'er Brachos are from King David?
We're getting there. Hang on. Hold on. Now, it's actually interesting. If I were to ask you, where would you expect the Rambam to quote the halacha of Me'er Brachos b'chol yom? Where would you instinctively expect to find this halacha quoted in the Mishnah Torah? You would think, as I did, Hilchos Brachos. That seems to be the most reasonable, rational, logical place to look. And yet it's not there. The halacha that the Rambam quotes from this Gemara is not found in Hilchos Brachos.
No.
In the Maseches Menachos. But I'm asking, where does the Rambam quote it, Lahalacha? Where does Rambam quote it? Doesn't quote it in Tshuva, doesn't quote it in Hilchos Brachos. He quotes it in Hilchos Tefila. Which is interesting. Now yes, okay, you can argue, well, most of my 100 brachos per day are the brachos I recite in the course of my tefillah. That's true. But is this halacha really essentially one of tefillah? The Gemara doesn't phrase it that way. The Gemara phrases it as Me'er Brachos. Okay, you'll tell me, well, Lamaisa, it's mostly tefillah, so therefore it's in Hilchos Tefillah. But by quoting it in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam is telling me more than just that it's fulfilled primarily through my recital of tefillah. He would seem, I would think, to be telling me that the chiyuv of Me'er Brachos is much like the chiyuv of tefillah. How so? So perhaps the pshat is based on an idea that Asarav Shimshon Pinkus writes, which is the following. He doesn't say to explain this Rambam, but he says the following. He's bothered by the following question. This halacha of Me'er Brachos, why is it not a chiyuv d'oraisa, according to most Rishonim? Most Rishonim hold this is a din d'rabbanan, Takanas David HaMelech perhaps. There is one Shitas HaRishonim, well, maybe a little bit more, but primarily one Shitas HaRishonim that sees in this Gemara Achiv Daraisa, and that is the Shita of the Sefer Yireim, which I did not quote due to simply an oversight. Sefer Yireim in Simen Reish Nun Hei, or in the Tvus Yashan Simen Yud, is of the opinion that this din of Me'er Brachos is one of the Tariag Mitzvos. The vast majority of Rishonim hold that no, Me'er Brachos is a din drabanan. Why is not Achiv Daraisa? Now, Shimshon Pinkus has the following idea. Beautiful Yisod. He says, the Tzura HaYisodis of a Jew, the most basic fundamental feature of a Jew is the fact that he engages in tefillah 3 times a day and recites Me'er Brachos each and every day. Why? Why is that so basic? Because he argues tefillah and brachos are the means of communication in which we connect with our Creator. And communication, he says, is the essence of any relationship. Without communication, there is no relationship. Doesn't exist. Think about a husband-wife relationship. Why are they married? Well, they want to have kids, raise a family. They want to support one another, work, build a family, buy a home. They might share common goals. We each want to have 17 kids, and we each want to live in an out-of-town community where real estate is cheap so we can build a massive mansion for our 17 kids. And we each want to attend a yeshul that is somewhat right of center but not totally yeshivish, not too modern. And we both believe in you name it. Okay, they have all these common agendas and goals in mind. And they're going to both work to make a living to support their 17 kids, and they're both going to work very hard, long hours, to make that all that money to feed their kids and clothe their kids. But if they don't speak to one another over the course of the day, because he's out to work before she gets up, and she stays out at work by the time he's home and asleep, she's still gone, and they never see each other, so there's no communication. There's no communication, there's no relationship. Is that a marriage relationship? No. They're living in the same house, they're both working to make money, they both love the same kids, and that's about it. Is there a relationship there? None whatsoever. Why? There's no communication. No communication. Communication is the essence of a relationship. Says Rav Pinkus, why is it in the ksuba that a husband gives his wife under the chuppah? So you have a whole list of obligations. Va'ana, and I, says the husband, I will work. Eflach, Ekur, I will cherish, respect. Ezun, I will support, feed. Afarnes, Yasich Elichi, I'll feed you, I'll clothe you. I'll provide you with all the responsibilities of a husband providing his wife. There's no mention of, I'll talk to you three half-hour slots during the day, 1 half-hour in the morning, 1 half-hour over dinner, 1 half-hour at night. There's no obligation to communicate. Isn't that a basic? Wouldn't you expect Chazal to say, you got to talk to your wife, sir, before you can marry her? There's no communication obligation. Why not? Because you don't obligate communication in a relationship. That is the relationship. There is no relationship without communication. And so he suggests that in a Jew's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the communication is the essential inherent yesod of that relationship. Without it, there's no relationship. That's why tefillah, mea brachos, are so critical. Now, what I found so remarkable is that the Baal Turim finds allusions to the mea brachos in numerous psukim in Chumash. That in this past week's parasha, where Kadosh Baruch Hu warns Moshe Rabbeinu, Lamed Aleph Tes Zayin, that you're going to die, and this nation will get up and stray after the gods of the earth, of the land, of the country where they are going to be living, and they're going to violate and abrogate my covenant. So the Baal Turim says on the pasuk Vekam Ha'am, once again, there's Tagim on the Kuf. Vekam. Tagim on the Kuf. Why? Lomar Sheyimasu B'mea Brachos. Their going astray and worshiping Avodah Zarah stems from their failure to properly recite Mea Brachos. That bad. Without Mea Brachos, there's no relationship. Without Mea Brachos, they're going to go and worship Avodah Zarah. That's what he's telling us. You find in Yud Dalet Yud Tes in Bereishis, Baal Turim quotes 7 psukim that speak of Bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, Baruch Kel Elyon, Baruch Hashem Elohei Adonai Abraham, Va'avarech Es Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Uberach Das Hashem, U'legod Arma Baruch Marachi of God. 7 psukim speak of Baruch in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Baal Turim, 100 words correspond to the 100 brachos that we say each and every day. Those 7 psukim combined, 100 words, can I get the 100 brachos we say every day? Another reference, Pekudei, the 100 sockets that supported the walls of the Mishkan. Baal Turim says, Mea Adonim correspond to Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. What does that tell you about the halacha of Mea Brachos? The Mishkan, the dwelling place for the Shechina, where Jews met up with the Shechina on earth, is supported by Mea Adonim. Does Mea Adonim represent Mea Brachos? The relationship between Jew and God rests on the bedrock of that relationship. The base of that relationship is the recital of Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. Even in the Kriya Shema, Baal Turim finds in Uv'Shachbecha Uv'Kumecha, yet again, Tagim on the Kuf, Uv'Kumecha. Why? Because as soon as you get up, first thing on your mind should be Mea Brachos, says Baal Turim. Remarkable, remarkable series of allusions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 allusions to the Torah, in the Torah, to the halacha of Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. Now, just to underscore how significant this is, Consider the following. Before I tell you this, Yisod, I need to get some windows open here so I can say this Yisod without passing out from the heat. Thank you. Here is the Yisod. In Sefer Halicha Shlomo, they write that whenever anyone would approach Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and ask for chizuk, for an eitzah, because he was encountering an eis tzara, Shlomo Zalman would say, "Are you makbid on the Meir Brachas b'chol yom?" I know from family who have approached of Yaakov Meir Schechter. You guys familiar with Yaakov Meir Schechter? One of the Gedolei Chasidus in Eretz Yisrael, one of the great manhigim of Chasidei Breslov in Yerushalayim, big makubal. So I know from family, I have approached of Yaakov Meir Schechter with requests for brachos for difficulties they were encountering. And his first response was, "Are you makbid on Meir Brachas b'chol yom?" Why is this the go-to? Someone's experiencing illness of any sort, so these Gedolei Olam, Gedolei Halacha, Gedolei Kabbalah, immediately speak of Meir Brachas b'chol yom as the place to turn for Yeshua Hashem. And yet, you look in Chazal, look at this Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Korach, which is cited as well by the Torah in Or HaChaim Simen Mem Vav. Tanchuma says, David HaMelech was mesakein Meir Brachas b'chol yom. Why? Because there was a magefa in the time of David HaMelech, and 100 Jews were dying every single day. And David HaMelech was mesakein Meir Brachas, and that put an end to the deaths that were occurring with such frequently and regularity. It was the Meir Brachas b'chol yom that put an end to the 100 deaths every single day. And more so, you look at the Bach in Simen Mem Vav. And the Bach says, he says, the Torah quotes Rav Atronoi Gon, who says, David Melech instituted the Meir Brachos to put an end to the Magefa that was killing 100 Jews a day. Says the Bach, Lahoros to teach us, Sheyiyu Nisharen Levarech Osam. We should all be careful to say Meir Brachos. V'lo Yismuchu Alani Asamein. Don't rely on just answering Amein someone else's Bracha. Ki'ika sakonas misas mea Yisrael b'chol yom. Because there is, present tense, a danger of 100 Jews dying a day. Kemo shahaya kodem shetikein David mea brachos elu. Just as that sakana actually existed before David instituted this din of mea brachos b'chol yom, says the Bach, this danger still exists. And the Torah is warning us, say mea brachos b'chol yom. Because if you don't, you're endangering yourself. Because this is an ongoing sakana. It wasn't just a piece of history back then, done, over, forgotten. No. The sakana remains in force because the sakana remains always relevant. Don't rely on amen to someone else's bracha. That's for amei ha'aretz who don't know how to say brachos. You can say a bracha, you say the mea brachos. Because otherwise there is, present tense emphasized, there is a sakana of misas mea Yisrael b'chol yom. This is a frightening comment of the Bach. Be looking at Yaakov Meir Schechter's Shiurim under the title HaMevarach Yisbarach. And he takes this so seriously that failure to recite mea brachos b'chol yom is such a danger, he writes, that if one neglects to say mea brachos b'chol yom, this sakana is so real that one is endangering himself and violating the iser de oraisa of lo samar al dam re'echa. Akadekach. Shabbat Yaakov Meir Schechter, this is so real. He writes, he says, a bracha, every bracha, has the capacity, the ability to prevent illness, to prevent suffering, misfortune. Every bracha, he says, brings refuos, Yeshuos, bracha, hatzlacha, parnasa, chayim. Chazal say in Maseches Brachos that one who is nehenah meha'olam azeh b'li bracha, one who gets hanah from this world without a bracha, Chazal quote the pasuk, chaver hu le'ish mashkes. He is a partner in destruction. Because you can so easily through brachos prevent catastrophe. If you don't, you could, God forbid, be negligent in causing danger and misfortune and you violate the samur adam riyacha. That's a frightening, frightening statement. But he literally sees this danger as so real that if one is negligent in mea brachas b'chol yom, he's in violation of the samur adam riyacha. Mitzacheni, he says, every bracha has the koach to prevent nega, machala, takala, ketata, peranios. Every bracha is so powerful. Every bracha is so powerful. And of course, the bracha will only be effective in accomplishing what it seeks to accomplish if it's recited with proper kavana. When you say a bracha and you think, Baruch Atah, you God are the source of all blessing. Hashem, Yudke Vavke, pronounced Adnus, Adon HaKol, Master of the World. Elokeinu, referring to God as Elokim, Takif, Balai Cholos, Balakochas Kulam, all powerful, all capable. Melech Olam, King of the Universe. You say, Shehakol Mi'Avid Varo, everything exists by your word, by his word, by God's word. You're acknowledging that everything in the world is a result of a Kadosh Baruch Hu only. You acknowledge we are totally dependent on a Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything and anything. As a result, we strengthen our Amunah. We strengthen our Ahavas Hashem because we're so grateful to God for the gifts that He has given us that we are about to enjoy. We strengthen our awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we now appreciate how everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without God, I have nothing. I think I've told you in the past how a Rav in this neighborhood told me that his daughter was married for a number of years and no children. And she went with her husband to the Baba Varevi Zatzal in Tali Halberstam to ask for a bracha for children. And the Baba Varevi took out a cup of water and said, listen carefully and say Amen. And he said a bracha of shakol nihiyah bidvaro, and that year they had their first child. The bracha of shakol nihiyah bidvaro, everything comes from God's word, has the capacity to bring all sorts of brachos, yeshuos, refuos, incredible salvation, as long as it's said with proper kavana. There was a member of my shul I've heard here for many years named Joe Illis, and he is no longer alive. He was a survivor of the war. But he did a oral testimony for the Spielberg Foundation. And his son gave me the video to watch. And he described an event that he experienced personally during the war, which I saw also was described in the memoirs written by a Holocaust survivor from the shul I grew up in Toronto named Irving Eisner. And the same event is described by the Klosenberger Rebbe and has been printed in his biography, Klosenberger Rebbe, the War Years. All three of these individuals were apparently in the same place at the same time. They were among a group of 6,000 prisoners who were brought in to clean up the rubble after the Warsaw Ghetto was bombed and destroyed. And after cleaning out the Warsaw Ghetto and clearing out the rubble, these 6,000 Jews were then force-marched through the heat, summer heat of August, Chodesh Av, Shabbos Nachamu, Tisha B'Av, they were force marched hundreds of miles to Dachau. And first part of the trip was by foot, second part of the trip was by cattle train, stuffed by the hundreds into cattle cars. And they each described, all three of these survivors described the exact same event. They were marching for hours every day for days with virtually no water. They were parched. People were dropping dead of dehydration in the hot summer sun of August. And finally, the SS guards had them stop for a night after days of marching in a field. And these Jews who are still alive, and over the course of this trip, 6,000 left, 2,000 survived. Thousands were dropping dead as they went. These exhausted Jews collapsed onto the field in the dark of night, parched, dying of thirst. And the Rebbe instructed those around him to dig with their fingers into the field soil to look for water. And hundreds of prisoners started clawing at the soil with their fingers, or whatever object they could lay their hands on. And after, I don't know how many minutes of digging, water started spurting up all over the field. Most unbelievable nace. Water literally spurting up from the soil underneath them. All around the field, hundreds of prisoners were digging and finding little fountains of water. And these prisoners all described the ecstasy, the brachos of shahakol, the prayers, the singing, the unbelievable, stunned amazement at the Yeshua Hashem. Ad kedei kach that Irving Eisner, this survivor from Toronto, is no longer alive, sadly, wrote in his memoirs, he remembers when the SS guards who had fallen asleep woke up to the commotion. One SS officer running out to see what was going on saw what was happening and was astounded. He started yelling, "These Himmelhund, these heavenly dogs, their God has saved them again." Now imagine the kavana that those Jews had when they said that bracha of shahakol. And the closing Begorbi said, when he was then stuffed on the cattle trains for the remainder of the trip, where again people were dying of thirst on the cattle cars, he said, "When I get my first glass of water, I'm going to say a shahakol with such kavana that the heavens are going to shake." And he said, when he got his first glass of water after that trip, after that transport, he said, "Taka," in his words, that bracha had Yiddish atam, as he put it. Yiddish atam. Can you imagine what that meant? That bracha had a Jewish feel to it. And then he said about himself, and Nebuch, since then, my brachas lack Yiddish atam. He says, no one today appreciates a glass of water. Our brachas lack Yiddish atam. But imagine the koach of a bracha of shahakol, like the Klausenberg Rebbe's bracha, like the Baba Varebi's shahakol. Imagine the koach of a bracha said with kavana. Look in the Rambam, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Alef Halacha Gimel. Rambam says, Brachos Rabos Tiknu Chachamim Derech Shevach V'Hodaya. The Derech Bakasha. Chazal instituted the recital of many brachos as praise, as requests, as thanks. Why? Kedei Lizkar Es Habore Tamid. So we should be constantly cognizant of the Creator. Always aware of the Creator. You say a bracha with kavana 100 times a day, you're going to be reminding yourself quite often that God exists. And anytime you talk to God, He's there to answer you. Soek Ne'ene Miyad. Noach Weinberg has a great story. Noach Weinberg of Eshet Torah, Zichrono Levracha, related how on one occasion, a fellow walks into his office at Eshet Torah. This guy was studying at Harvard in Boston. And the guy says, "Hi Rabbi, my name is Jeff, and I'm an atheist." And Noach says to him, "Wow, Jeff, whoever got an atheist like you to meet a rabbi like me deserves a medal. You know, what brings you here? That's pretty good." So he tells the following story. So this Jeff from Harvard was in Norway visiting his Norwegian fiance, not Jewish, obviously. And he figured, hey, might as well check out the sites in Jerusalem, see that old Western Wailing Wall, archaeological value. No, it's cool. So he goes to Jerusalem on the way back to the States, comes to visit the Western Wall, and he said, "You know, when I was standing there, I felt something emotional. Didn't know what it was exactly." So he says, "I was standing at the wall and I said the following. I said, God, I don't believe that you exist. But I'm feeling something now. So in case I'm wrong and you really do exist, just want you to know I have nothing against you. I just don't know that you're there. But if in fact you are there, God, please introduce yourself." This is what he says at the Western Wall. At that moment, some Asian guy walking, you know, prowling the plaza, sees this clearly touristy-looking, irreligious, as of yet, American Jew, taps him on the shoulder, says, "Hi, would you like to learn about God?" So I was like, Okay, thank you, God. Got it. So off to Eish HaTorah he goes. And 6 weeks he's there in the summer, studying, goes back to Boston, continues learning. One Shabbos morning in Boston in shul, he sees a girl he had seen in the old city that previous summer. He goes over, he says, "Hi, I think I saw you this past summer." He says, "Yeah, I think I saw you too." Great. Within the year they're married. Both from go back to Eish to visit Abnoach, tell him the end of the story. Abnoach says, even an atheist can pray to God and have his prayer answered without knowing God is there. So if a Jew believes in God, davens 3 times a day, prays 100, says 100 brachas a day, so of course your brachas can be answered. Of course your tefillas can be answered. You're remembering a Kaddish Baruch Hu throughout the day by reciting the Mea Brachos. Of course your tefillas can be answered. The chiyuv to say Mea Brachos b'chol yom. I told you guys a few weeks ago about this individual in my shul who was sadly suffering from very serious health issues and was on a liquid diet for 4 weeks straight and lost dozens of pounds, could not eat a single morsel of solid food. And after he went to the hospital for a procedure to rectify the problem, and I came to visit him, and he and his wife were so emotional. They had just had his first piece of bread in 4 weeks. And they were so excited, they called their kids to say, Abba can say a hamotzi, he could say birchas hamazon. They were so thrilled to say the bracha that we perhaps just like mumble and mutter through without stopping to think about what it actually means at all. And yet these mea brachos are so critical for one's yeshuos and for one's refuos. So critical. So critical. What I suggested to my shul over Shabbos was the following. Aside from this individual who, Be'ezus Hashem, is on the road to recovery, there is a young woman in my shul, 20-year-old, you know, post-seminary girl, who was just diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer that very, very few people have. Very, very few doctors in the country know how to treat. And nothing is by any means guaranteed, sadly. And this young woman, who you would expect should be in college, should be dating, is now between home and hospital. Either she's on chemo or she's home on painkillers. Either way, she's so nauseous from the chemo and the painkillers that she can't eat. Every time she eats, she throws it up, she vomits. She's simply lying in bed in agony, either undergoing chemo or sedated with painkillers. She doesn't even have much of the time, an appetite or an ability to eat. And I suggested to my tzibur that if the mea brachos b'chol yom are as chus for one's refuos, for one's yeshuos, for all the brachos that we so desperately need. In fact, as Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter says, the brachos are the key to unlock the shefa bracha from above. We all want an abundance and overflow of blessing from Shemayim. But to access that, we need the mea brachos. We need the mea brachos. And perhaps in order to accomplish that, it would be helpful and meaningful if we started with simply reciting one bracha a day with kavana. Just one a day with kavana. That's it. Just from now until the end of Chodesh Tishrei, take upon yourself to say one bracha with kavana. It could be the first shahakal you say in the morning. It could be the first asher yatzah you say in the morning. It could be the first bar nefashos you say. When we speak of bar nefashos rabbos, God creates so many different lives, v'chesronon, that which they're lacking, that which they need. Just pick one bracha a day and say with proper kavana from now until the end of Chodesh Tishrei, as a zchus for the scholim, as a zchus for ourselves, for our families. This is key to unlocking shefa bracha. And hopefully, if we commit to saying one bracha there with proper kavana will have an overflow effect. That maybe I'll stop and think before I say a second bracha or a third bracha. All it takes is to stop and think for a minute before you say a bracha. Before you say Asher Yatzar, do you know what that blessing of Asher Yatzar means? For a person who is lo aleinu, unable to naturally go to the bathroom and relieve himself and perform his bodily functions, what kind of sorrow that person experiences? The nisim that go into simply the body's functioning that we should give hodah for with Asher Yatzar, it deserves at least a minute of reflection before saying the bracha. So let's look for a moment just at some of the actual practical elements here. On a regular weekday, generally speaking, between a person's tfilos and foods, you usually have it covered. It becomes far more challenging on Shabbos and even more so on Yom Kippur when there's no food to meet the requirements of Mea Brachos. So look, for example, at the little calculations here. Ma'ir Shmona Esrei, 19 brachos. Birchos Kriya Shema, assuming you say Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen V'Amen, gives you two brachos before Kriya Shema, two brachos after Kriya Shema. Birchos HaMapil, another bracha. Grand total, 24 brachos at night.
After
I'm sorry? Oh, so thank you. It's the other way around. Assuming you don't say the Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen. Thank you, right. As the Gal Yisrael and the Shemar Yisrael Ad, assuming you don't say Baruch Hashem La'olam. Yes, thank you, correct? Thank you, right? Grand total 24. If you say Baruch Hashem La'olam, you get 25. You're a step ahead. Correct. Okay. We'll leave aside the various distinctions between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Giving you a rough count. Yes, correct. A rough count. Netil Sedayim in the morning. Asher Yatzar in the morning. Elkayin Hashem in the morning. Three brachas right there. Tzitzis and Tfilin. Tzitzis is one. Tfilin is one or two. Birchas HaTorah, depending on the Machlokas Machaber Ramah in Siman Mem Zayin, where they say V'ha'arevna, which means it's a Hemshuch of Lasuk V'divrei Torah, or whether you say just Ha'arevna, which implies it's a separate bracha, Machlokas HaPoskim, Machlokas Rishonim, that'll determine what Birchas Torah is two or three brachas. Okay? So again, there's some fluctuation there. Birchas HaShachar, 15 brachas. Psukit HaZimra, Baruch Shamar Yishtabach, is two. Shema in the morning, three brachos. Shmona Esrei, 19. Mincha, 19. Someone asked me that in shul. Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Hashem Chabarabim. That might count as another one if you say that Atah Hashem. That's a machlokus also. Yeah, that might count as another one. More or less, you're in the range of 90 brachos before you eat anything on a weekday. So you eat and you say your bracha rishona, bracha achrona. You go to the bathroom a couple more times. Without too much difficulty, you should be able to get to 100 brachas a day, right? Most likely, presumably. The challenge is on Shabbos, when every Shemona Esrei, instead of 19 brachas, consists of only 7. So yes, I have an added musaf in there, but I've already lost from Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha, right? I've lost a total of 36 brachos. So I get 7 back from Musaf. Okay, I'm still behind by 29 brachos. That sets me back a significant deal. But I have Kiddush Friday night, 2 brachos. Kiddush Shabbos morning, another bracha. I'm forced to... I am thrilled to wash and to bench for my 2 seudos, maybe my 3 seudos even. So every time I wash and bench, I get Nihil Tehil Sadaim, Hamotzi, that's 2 brachos, times 3 is 6. I get 4 brachos of Birchas HaMazon, times 3 is 12. So okay, I'll make it up to 80 on Shabbos, but you know you got to be cognizant of it. Not so necessarily a given that you're going to make your Mer Brachos on Shabbos. In fact, Rabbi Shimon Yosef Meller, in his book Uvdos VaHanhagos, the Beis Brisk, quotes how when the Brisker Rav was once visiting Switzerland back in the 1950s, he used to go to Switzerland every so often. To visit. So he was staying one Shabbos at someone's home. And Shabbos afternoon, he asked his hostess for an apple, for a fruit and a vegetable. Okay. Sure, she runs to give him his fruit and vegetable. Next morning, they're still there on the plate. She says, Rebbe, you asked me for a fruit and a vegetable and you didn't touch it. Why'd you ask me for it if you weren't going to eat it? So he said very simply, he said, I had 98 brachas, you know, accounted for Shabbos. I needed two more to go, or three more, I guess you'd say. But I needed ha'etz, hadama, and a bar nefashos. So I asked you for those fruits. Then I got an aliyah, mincha. So I got two more brachas in the process. So I didn't need the fruit and vegetable anymore. I was okay. Meaning, he was counting as he went through the day. And in fact, in Shubas van Hagas or Sternbach Chelik Beis, he actually writes in Simen Kuf Chav Tes that the Briska Rav was medayik in the Rambam. When the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefila, Umone kol habrachos ad shemashlim mea b'chol yom. He says the Rambam is mashma that you're bedafka supposed to count. Mamash supposed to count. So Briska Rav Mamash count. You count his brachos and Shabbos to make sure you got the full 100. He would count them. The biggest difficulty is Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, we don't eat. So we're really, really in the hole here. Yeah, we got an Ela in there. Okay, that's an added tefillah, but it's not going to help. Because you minus Kiddush, minus Hamotzi, minus Netilas Yadayim for meals, minus Birchas Hamazon. All you got is 59 brachas approximately. Yes, you have most if you have an Ela, but... So Mishabura says, based on the Gemara, you should try to smell besamim to make up for a few extra brachas, but you can't make brachas unnecessarily. Right? So every so often, of course, there you can smell some besamim to make up an extra bracha here, an extra bracha there. But even if you count an eel and shachiyanu, you get 67 brachas. 67 brachas. What? So Mishabura says, you're kind of stuck. Kind of stuck. So what should you do? So Mishabura says... And this actually is found in Sefer Yireyim. He says, have in mind to listen to the Aliyos LaTorah. Answer Amen to the Olim LaTorah. Shabbos also, yes. That is in fact found in the Sefer Yireyim. Now that's an interesting idea because when you say Amen to a bracha, that counts as if you actually said the bracha. The whole purpose of Mea brachos is to say the brachos. Yes, I could be yotze with someone's bracha with shomea ka'ona, but does that necessarily mean that I've actually said the bracha? That's the famous machlokas Rashi and Tosfos quoted in brachos chaf aleph amid beis, machlokas Rashi and Sukkal amid ches and Tosfos brachos chaf aleph amid beis. If I'm davening shmona esrei and the chazan starts chazar sashatz and gets up to kedusha, what am I supposed to do? We paskin, stop. Quiet, listen. Shmei Ka'ona, Iyote, by hearing the Kedusha. That is Shittas Rashi. That's how we paskin. Tosfos argues, what do you mean? Shmei Ka'ona, it's like you're saying it, it's a hefsek. You can't stop and listen to the Kedusha of the Chazan. The same way you can't say it when you're davening Shmei Esrei in the middle of your own part of Shmei Esrei. You can't be Yotze Shmei Ka'ona with someone else saying it because you'll be mafsik, just like you're saying it. What's the machlokas? Says Mishnah Shabbat, Simen Chavav. Machlokas is... Is Shmei Ka'ona simply a means of saying that you're Yotze by hearing someone's bracha? Or no, is Shmei Ka'ona a means of saying that by hearing it, it's like you're Akamamash saying it, and that's why you're Yotze? So if you assume that Shmei Ka'ona means that when you hear a bracha, it's like you're Mamash saying it, because I understand. From my Mea Brachos, I listen to the Ola Torah, I say Amen, it's like I'm Mamash saying it. I get it. We're going to pass it that way. We pass it like Rashi. We pass it that... You're allowed to listen during your Shalom Shema Esrei to the Chazan's Kedusha. Shmei Kona means that you have a chiv to hear it, so you hear it, you yotze by hearing it. Doesn't mean it, make it like you're saying it. However, there's a Rambam in Hilchos Brachos Perek Alf Lachir Aleph. Rambam says that you could be yotze a bracha by simply listening to the bracha with kavana. That's fine. Shmei Kona. But then Rambam adds, but if you hear the bracha and you even answer Amen, says Rambam, Harezek Mevarech. If you hear the bracha, so listening to the bracha and having kavanah to be yotze is good enough as far as being yotze is concerned. But if you listen to it and you say amen, that's even better. It's kimavarech. It's like you said it. Says of Soloveitchik Zatzal, says of Zolti and his Mishnah Shabbat, Rambam is saying the following. Simply listening to a bracha without answering amen, but having kavanah to be yotze, you're yotze. Shmei ka'on. It's like you heard it, and that's like you're yotze with just hearing it. But if you hear a bracha and you say amen, it's like you actually said it. It's like you actually said it. So maybe hearing the Aliyas LaTorah on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos, listening and saying amen, and Mishmur adds, maybe even Chazar Sashas too, listening and saying amen, according to Rambam, you hear a bracha, you have kavanah, you own an amen, it's kemivarech, it's like you actually said it. Oh, if that's the case, it can count towards your mea brachas b'chol yom. And that's a remarkable chiddush, because what happens on Rosh Chodesh, or on Yom Tov, when we get up to Hallel, and what happens, the chazan says the brach of Hallel out loud, and most people in the shul listen and say amen, and then what do? They say it all over again. Well, according to Rambam, if you answer amen to a bracha, and you're as if you said the bracha, then you can't say the bracha again yourself. So either you have to have kavana not to be yotzei with the chazan's bracha when you say amen. Well, saying amen is a mitzvah too. But when you say amen, have in mind not to be yotzei, presumably. Or say the bracha along with the chazan. That way you avoid this shaila. Another possible consequence of this din. This I saw somewhere. I forgot where I saw it. What happens Friday nights when the chazan says kiddush in shul? Friday nights. What happens after kiddush? Everyone says amen, and what happens next? What? Aleinu. And they give the kid to drink, right? Should I have to wait for the kid to take a sip before I say my aleinu? If I answered amen to the kiddush, if that makes this, if I am kemivarech, well, if you make a bracha, you can't be mafsik after the bracha before either you drink or someone else who you are motzi drinks. So if you hold that by answering amen, it's like you said the bracha, maybe then you should be dafka have to wait for the first kid to take a sip before you can say your aleinu. I know Rabbi Willick Shul in Riverdale, he bedafka waits every Friday night for the first kid to take a sip, then he says aleinu. I never asked him why, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Islamdus. If by saying amen, it's kimavarech, it's like you said the bracha has to be chal before you can start saying other things. So that might be also nafkamina to consider with regard to this shaila. Fascinating, fascinating shaila. One last fascinating shaila. Piskei Teshuva, Siman Mem Vav, quotes the Eretz Tzvi, the Kashrut lover of Eretz Tzvi Fromer. What happens this time of year? Aseres Yemei Teshuva. I start my Shmoneh Esrei, and I forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh. And I remember only after I finish Shmoneh Esrei. And I got to go back and say the whole thing all over again. Can I count my first Shmoneh Esrei for my Mea Brachas? Said my Mea Brachas. So is that necessarily so or not? So he says the following. And this shot can apply all year round also. I forget Yalav Yavo, Rosh Chodesh. I got to preach Shmoneh Esrei Shacharis, Shmoneh Esrei Mincha. Does the first Shmoneh Esrei count towards my Mea Brachas or not? So the Kosher Glover says it depends. When you have a chiv to insert something different into Shmoneh Esrei and you fail to do so, and Chazal require you to repeat Shmoneh Esrei, is that pshat that your tefillah wasn't a tefillah? You weren't yotze tefillah? Say it all over again. In which case, it doesn't count towards Mei Brachos. Or is it pshat? No. You said a Shmoneh Esrei. Very good. Elamai, you forgot to make mention of Rosh Chodesh. You forgot to make mention of Tal Matar. If you got to make mention of Melech HaKadosh. Okay, so for that alone, Chazal say, oh, you didn't make mention of that special day significance? Say it again, so you can make mention of it this time around. My tefillah might have been a good tefillah, but the Hazkara I omitted. If that's the case, my Shmoneh Esrei counts towards my Mei Brachos. Now, this might vary from Yal V'Yavo to Melech HaKadosh. It might vary from one to the other. But the Chakir is the same. Whenever there's a chiv to preach Shmoneh Esrei because I forgot to mention something, it can apply to benching perhaps. Is the pshat that I didn't bench at all? I didn't say tefillah at all? Or is the pshat, no, I said tefillah. It counts towards my brachos. It's just that I failed to mention my hazkara, so I have to daven again. Another nafkamina would be if I forget Yal V'Yavo and Rosh Chodesh Mincha and ask preach Shmoneh Esrei. But I don't realize it until after nightfall. So, okay, normally, if you have to preach Shmoneh Esrei of Mincha, and you don't do so, you say two Ma'arevs. But it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore. I'm not going to say Yal V'Yavo now. Do I still repeat second Ma'ariv for my messed up Minchan Rosh Chodesh if I'm not saying Yal V'Yavon now at night? Same Naf Gemina. If I wasn't Yotze my Tzilas Mincha at all, I gotta say two Ma'arivs. If I was Yotze Mincha, it's just that I have to mention Yal V'Yavo. Well, I'm not gonna do that now anyways, because after Rosh Chodesh, so I wouldn't repeat two Ma'arivs. Okay, Chavit, I wish you all a Gemar Chasim Tova, and wish you much Hatzlacha in saying Me'er Brachas each and every day, and specifically at least one Brachas.